Praise God. Well, great to worship the Lord and praise the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Where's Joshua Mason? Is he? Joshua Mason, give us a wave. Do you want to come here? He says unplanned. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Lewis, can I just borrow that microphone? We at the prayer meeting this morning, we had a very excited young man who gave a powerful prayer about the Youth Alive that happened. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what happened last night and what it was all about?
Well, last night at Youth Alive, we had a brilliant night, and we had like a lot of people coming last night. And when we, when Pastor Corey gave the message, we had like a lot of people that gave their hearts to God.
Praise God, that's wonderful. Well done. Praise God. There you go. Takes a lot to get up there to speak anyway, but when sprung on you like that too. But just very passionate prayer this morning in the prayer time, and just wonderful to hear that. An awesome night, the young adults and youth, mainly youth, a few young adults crashed them as well, which is great. And they had an awesome time. But let's just pray before we open the word. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, that you're bringing change in our lives, Lord. You're growing us, Lord. You're conforming us to the image of Christ. And Father, even as we open your word this day, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us. Lord, that you'll challenge us. And Lord, that you will change us, Lord, by your word. So Father, we open our hearts to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to continue with our theme. We know our theme for the year is Call to War. And we know that we're in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle that rages, and the ones that stand up are the ones who fight the good fight of faith. We stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand for the kingdom of God, and our heart is that people might come to know Jesus Christ. So we've talked about many different things in this spiritual battle that we're in. We've talked about, yep, that there's an enemy, that there's a devil that goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he wants to devour. We talked about the spiritual armor that we have, the armor of God that we stand in that. We talked about the word of God, the sword of the spirit, which we use both offensively and defensively in this battle. We've talked about many different aspects. We've talked about the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of our testimony, many different things that we've spoken about as we've talked about this battle. What I want to talk about today is something a little bit more practical than some of the things that really that we need to do. And the things I want to talk about today is certainly going to be challenging, because this is going to hit you when you leave this place, and what you do from now on, and what you do on Monday morning, and what you do on Tuesday and Wednesday, and every day, how you live your life. And it's a part of this battle that we're in, and how to overcome evil. There's a scripture I want to mainly concentrate on, Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, and it says this: do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, we know that it is a spiritual battle, but we know that a lot of the struggles and the trials and the different things that we go through, it can be people that come and maybe oppose you. Can be areas that maybe in work where it's a boss giving you a hard time or whatever it is. There is that human element in it. And how to deal with that? How do we work with that? How do we stand as a Christian in the situation and the society that we live in, and to walk in that and to actually be one that is not overcome? None of us want to be overcome by evil. None of us want to be overcome in life by the things that happen in our life, that we're overcome by that. And because if you're overcome, it means you're lost. It means you're defeated. And God certainly doesn't want us to be living in a place of defeat and hopelessness and despair and being overcome. And by our circumstances, by situations, by things that come against us, that we're not going to be overcome by that. But remember, the Lord has called us to be overcomers, that we might be ones who overcome. And so it says that don't be overcome by evil. Don't live a life where you're in defeat, where you're losing, where you're just downtrodden, where you're downcast. Don't live like that. Don't be overcome by evil. And certainly we face stuff, and this is not an exemption of facing things. It's foolish if we think, oh, once we're a Christian, we're never going to face anything in our lives. Scripture doesn't actually say that. But it tells us that we don't have to be overcome by the things that we go through in life. Whatever it is, whatever area of our life, that we're not going to be overcome by that. But it talks about overcoming evil with good. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning, about really living our life and ministering in a contrary spirit to even the spirit of the world, even the things that come against us. And whatever the normal or natural reaction is or response might be, that we don't respond in the way the world does, But we respond differently because we are called to be different. We are different. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit resident living within our lives. And so that we live a different life and we respond differently. And so that we learn to overcome evil with good. Whatever evil is done to us, that we don't reciprocate that, but rather we overcome it with good. And certainly that's how God is with us. If you actually think about it, just think of your life for a moment. Now, this is not something that we want to dwell on, but Lewis mentioned that, yep, probably got a past. Probably some things in your life that you've done that if you had your time over, you would not have gone there. You'd not have done that. You'd never said that, thought that, whatever it was. There are some things. Now, we praise God that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, that he washes those things away. He cleanses us. In fact, more than that, the scripture tells us he remembers our sins no more. And so certainly we don't want to dwell on that. But if we were ones that were going to be treated according to how we deserve, every one of us would be in a lot of problems, wouldn't we? If God responded to us and gave us what we deserved, then we'd all be in trouble, every one of us. And that's the wonder of the cross. That's the miracle of the cross, of what God did for us, that we're not treated according to our sins deserve, but by the grace of God that we're actually, he responds to us. And certainly God has responded to us, not in the way, not retaliating, if you like, or not responding, if you like, in accordance to what is deserved, what would be the normal response. God has actually ministered to us contrary to really what we deserve, out of his love and his grace. And that's what it tells us in Colossians 1:21 and 22. It says this: once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your sin, evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and without accusation. So the devil's got nothing to say to you anymore. Whatever was your past, whatever were those things, that there's no place for accusation. Because of Jesus Christ, it's been silenced. The accuser has been silenced. He can't accuse you anymore. He's got nothing to say. There's nothing to accuse you of. Jesus has dealt with that. He's taken that away by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his death upon the cross. But it says that we were enemies of God. What a scary thing to be, an enemy of God. I don't really want to be an enemy of anyone, but to be an enemy of God, that's a scary place to be. To be an enemy of God, have God come against you, that would be an awesomely scary thing, something that we would not have or want to face. But because of Jesus Christ, we don't want to do that. So God certainly, he ministers in this contrary spirit, if you like, or not according to what the normal response would be. He actually allowed love to come in. He allowed grace to come in. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we don't get dealt with according to our sins, but according to his love and according to his grace and his mercy. And I praise God for that. Romans 5:10 says this: for if while we were God's enemies, so before you're a Christian, you were God's enemy. There's no middle ground. I'm just okay. I'm a nice person. I live a God life. There's no middle ground. There's enemy or there's friend of God. No in between. You're one or the other, enemy or friend. That says, but if while we were enemies, while we were still enemies, it says we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And so even when we were God's enemy, he did that amazing thing. Even when we were his enemy, he sent Jesus to come and die on the cross. We remember that at communion. That's what communion was about, that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. And he did that while we were his enemy, not when we were good enough and started living a good life and being good people. When God considered us his enemy, he did the most amazing act of human history in sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. What an amazing event that was. And that's the heart that God ministers in. And that's the heart that God actually challenges us to minister in. And that's what I want to talk about really today, about not reacting back in maybe what is could have been deserved for it. Maybe the response for that, the way that someone treated me, what they said to me, what they did to me, and how I might want to respond to them, because, and maybe in a way they deserve it. They deserve it because of what they've done, because of the injustice, because of the hurt, because of the heartache. And we want to respond in a way, but there's something that will constrain us, which is, of course, the love of God. God doesn't treat us according to what we deserve. And that's what he wants us to actually learn, to overcome evil with good. You know, there's a fire that they say, fight fire with fire. Someone's angry at you, you get angry back at them. No, you fight fire with water. You just put it out. You get rid of it. And you don't respond like the world does. And so it talks about don't be overcome by evil. Because if you respond like the world does, if you behave like the world does, if you're just like every other person in the world, then you're lost. You're defeated. When we respond in a way with aggression or whatever it is, if we respond in the same way, even if we think someone deserved it, then we lost the battle. And the devil cheers you, good on you. You got your revenge. You got angry at them. You said that spiteful word back. You treated them with contempt or whatever it was. And the devil's cheering. Well done. Because you've won a victory for him and you've lost a battle for yourself. But when we don't respond according to that, then we actually win a victory, an amazing victory, as we will see. It says in 1 John 3:8, and it says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. And remember, we've talked about this spiritual battle. It's the battle for truth. Ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about truth. God's word is truth. He is truth. His word is truth. And it's about that. So we respond with that heart of truth, but it's with actions. It's not just nice sentiment. This is what's going to happen when you walk out the door. Maybe even someone will accidentally stand on your foot when you walk out through the door today. How are you going to respond to that? When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school, when you go to uni, when something happens, how do we respond to that? Because it's got to be with our actions, something real about it. I want to read this passage in Romans 12, and it's a very challenging passage. I want to tell you stuff, that this stuff challenges me as well, because I'm still learning in God, I'm still growing in God, and I'm not completely perfect in every way. I'm growing in that, and I'm growing in the things of God, because every one of us has feelings. Hands up if you have feelings. All the dead people are going to pray for you later, all the lepers among you as well. We've all got feelings, and we can all get hurt. Hands up if you've ever been hurt. Man, this is quite, we're going to have a raising the dead ceremony at the end of the service. Every one of us have been hurt someone. Sometimes someone has hurt, and sometimes when it hurts, it hurts. It can cut us to the core. We're not exempt from that. We feel, and so we're all going to feel. It's just how we respond when things happen to us in our lives. How are we going to respond to that? Because we've all got feelings. It's all real in our life. How do we respond? And so this is a great challenge that's given to us in Romans 12. And then we'll look at what Jesus' challenge as well. This is from the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, reading 14 to 21. It starts off by saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Blessing someone means that you want the best for them. And not only just the best for them, you want God's best for them. Someone who's persecuting you, the boss that gives you a hard time, the colleague at work that is jealous of you, because they don't want you to get the promotion or they don't want you to be in favor, and so they try to undermine you and they put you down and they try to make you look bad. Someone who gives you a hard time because you're a Christian, because you don't go to the pub and get drunk with everyone after work or whatever. You don't tell dirty jokes or whatever. You get a hard time for those. People that persecute you, they give you a hard time. And it says to bless them. Want the best for them, but want God's best for them. That's what blessing really is. It's I want God's best for you. That's a pretty tall order. That's just the beginning. That's the very first one. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And something inside, when someone hurts us or transgresses us in some way, something happens against us, immediately there can be a reaction in your heart. Someone says something terrible to you, they do something in your own heart can rise up where you want to respond, but it's saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's just read on. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Well, we can do that one. That's probably a little bit easier. Live in harmony with one another. Well, we try to do that. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I think most of us think we're not conceited, which maybe that makes us, I don't know. We try not to be conceited. But do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay anyone, evil for evil. Because remember, if we do that, then we're lost. The moment we do that, we react back. We've lost a battle. And I'm saying this is not easy stuff that the Lord's asking of us to do. But remember, when God asks you to do something, he never asks you to do something that you cannot do. And he never asks us to do something that he's not going to empower us by the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And so these things are not just, well, this is the impossible dream. This is the Christian life. And it's a part of this war that we're in. Sometimes we're warring a little bit against ourselves, where our tendency is, no, I want to say something back about that. I want to do something. You've hurt me, so right, you're going to pay. Something can sometimes try to rise up. But it's how we respond when people hurt us, when people let us down, when they hurt us and do things to us. It's so important. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Really, to lead a life that when people look at your life, they will see that there is something different about you. And that's got to be the case. It's got to be the case. We cannot be the same as everyone in the world. In your workplace, people need to know you're a Christian, as I've said before, not because you've got a T-shirt on that says, I'm a Christian, because they see something, and not because you run around with a big black Bible. But there's something about what's written upon our heart, the Word of God that's written upon our heart, that's lived out of our life, that sets us apart, and that they can see, hang on, there's something that you have that I want. There's something that you have that I need. And so we're demonstrating that. We're being careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that talks about the workmate, the one that gives you a hard time. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you. And it's interesting, it says, if possible and as far as it depends on you. Because the responsibility on us is to have that heart. Lord, and to remember where people are coming from. Always remember that. If you've got this person at work that is giving you a really hard time, and they're jealous of you or whatever it is, they're threatened by you or whatever it is, in your family, one of the family members just seems to give you a hard time. Remember, they're operating out of something missing in their life. There's something missing. Well, if they don't have Jesus, that's what's missing in their life. There is a source of the dysfunction that they're operating out of. And that sometimes we've got to see beyond my own feelings. If I've been hurt, I've been let down, how dare you say that? How dare you do that? And actually see that with the eyes of compassion, see beyond that and say, hang on, they've actually got a problem. They're actually like that because they've got a problem. You know, maybe they've come out of an abusive situation. Maybe they had a father that hit them or something. Maybe they got beat up at school. Maybe something happened to them. And if we can actually see that these people that are like that are actually out of their own brokenness, then something within ourselves, our hearts soften towards them, because we realize there's something that you need. You might just need the love of God, but you might need something else. There's something missing in your life. You need God in your life. You need the love of God. Maybe you need a friend. Maybe you need someone just to say a kind word to you. Maybe you're getting all these things that are happening to them, and they're acting out of that. They don't know any better. And if we can actually have that heart to people, as far as it depends on you. Now, sometimes it's not going to be possible. There's some people that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter what you do. You just can't get through to them. Some people harden their hearts. And sometimes we can feel guilty about that because I just can't get anywhere with this person. I've done everything that I can, and we can feel guilty. Well, the responsibility is as far as it depends on you. You can't make someone change their mind. You can't change somebody else's heart. But you can make sure your own heart is good. You can make sure that your own attitude is good, that you're not there wanting to get back, because that's exactly what the next part says. It says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And says, don't take revenge. But there's something about, there's an automatic reaction, isn't there? You can actually feel that someone's hurt you, and part of that human element. But then the Spirit of God, as we grow in God, says, no, hang on a moment. There's a bit of self-control here. You don't respond like that. And even not only in your actions, but even in your thought life as well.
So it's one thing not to go bop someone on the head, even if they maybe feel like they deserve it. But it's another thing not to think that I want to bop them on the head either. And as we grow in God, actually the Holy Spirit actually helps us, as I said, where we begin to see people where they really are, how God sees them. Because that's how God sees us. Sometimes we praise God that he didn't bop us on the head, because none of us would have heads. And God ministers and sees the brokenness of our life. He just sees the distress of our situation. He saw the hopelessness of where we were. And that's the heart that God wants to stir in us, that we see people, not in a condescending way, not in a pitying way, but with a genuine love and compassion for them. Because if I really have that, that's how then I can bless them. I can really want God's best for them if I really see that there is this brokenness within their heart. And that's why they're like that. That's why they treat me like that. That's why they treat people like that. That's why they're the bully in the school. Yeah, look, I remember back at school, there was this guy, won't say his name because he might be a pastor somewhere now. And I'm, one guy, he was a school bully, man. Was he a bully? And it used to go around and had his own little gang of bullies, because you notice that bullies actually aren't big enough on their own. They need a gang because they're really cowards, really. Because I was a Christian, he used to like to pick on me. But it's never just one-on-one. It's you versus the gang. But I actually, in the end, I just started to reach out to him because I realized about his family situation. You know, he was living with his father. I don't even think he knew who his father was. Just so much heartache and pain. And I actually saw that, you know, behind the bully, there was actually something lacking in his life. Now, eventually we sort of almost became friends. Well, he didn't want to beat me up behind the shelter sheds or whatever, mainly because I had glasses. That was my biggest offense, was I had glasses. But just the Lord actually gave me real compassion for him, and I began to pray for him, and he did change in some ways. And I don't know whether he actually made a commitment to Christ. I don't think that he did, not that I led him, but really praying for him. But God actually gave me a heart for this guy. And you can see beyond, and you'll have someone like that in your work. You may even have someone like that in the family, someone in your family that is the real pain in the neck. You know, when you have Christmas Day, everyone's thinking, oh no, what's Uncle George going to do? Or, you know, maybe someone in your family like that. But just see beyond their behavior and see into their heart, and then you want to bless them, and you want God's bless. But it says, don't take revenge. Don't be one that wants to get even with people. And there are in times in life we're going to face injustices in life. And it's just simply not right, and it's simply not fair. And we would be well justified to take a stand. Well justified. You deserve it. From what you did to me, you've got it coming, buddy. And justice would even be served by me getting even or me fixing him or whatever it was. But the Lord says, no, look, I don't want you to have that heart. I want you to bless them. I want you to want not only the best for them, I want you to want my best for them. And he says, leave room. It says, leave room for the wrath of God, because at the end of the day, everyone must stand before God. Everyone, without exception, before God. And we're going to be judged before our Father. Now, when we've given our life to Christ, then when God looks at us, all he sees is the holiness and the purity of Christ. And we're rewarded and blessed for the heart of love and grace that we have. But for those who haven't given their life to Christ, they're going to stand for God, before God, like all of us. But they don't have the blood of Jesus Christ washing away their sin. They're going to stand there and they're going to face it. They've got to face up for it. No one gets away. No one gets away with it. And sometimes people think, well, it's not fair they're getting away with it. Well, even to have a heart they're getting away with it is probably wrong. I think of Stephen. Remember Stephen? You got people stoning him to death. What does Stephen say? Lord, just forgive them. Lord, they don't really know what they're doing. Lord, just forgive them. He saw beyond on that. But sometimes for us, as we want to make them pay. And even if we don't do it, we think, well, at least I'm being holy because I didn't respond. But if our heart is, then there's something that needs to change. God wants us to have the heart that we're blessing and not cursing, that we'll have a heart. But ultimately, you know, I do everything I can. Ultimately, if they live in the hardness of heart, well, they've got to face that before God. It's not for me to judge them. It's not me to bring that vengeance. I'm not the agent of vengeance of God. At the end of the day, they must give an account before God. And if we really understand what that means, we don't want anyone to have to be in that situation. We don't really want to see them suffer, really. If we really have a heart, we don't want to see anybody suffering. That's why we want people to come to Christ, because we don't want to see anyone really have to pay for their sin. We really don't. We don't want anyone to do that. And so that's why we want to see people come to Christ. It says, on the contrary, and this is something where we can do something. Because sometimes we think we've won the battle by not doing anything. Well, I didn't respond. I didn't tell him it was this or that, didn't bop him in the head, didn't do this. But that's not actually what the scripture is saying. It's not saying don't do nothing. It's actually saying, on the contrary, do something good. Overcome evil with good. Do something. Don't think it's enough. Or, well, I just kept my mouth shut. Well, it actually says do something on the contrary. Minister in the opposite spirit. It says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do something positive for him. Do you do that to the workmate? Because you see beyond what they've done to see the brokenness of their life, and you say, there's something, you have a need in your life. You might just need a friend. You just might need someone to listen to you. You may need someone to help you, whatever it is. It says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do something positive. Because we think we're champions because, woohoo, I didn't say anything. But the scripture says more than just don't say something. It says, on the contrary, do something positive. And that is the act of overcoming. That is the act of overcoming. The fact that you didn't respond negatively, yeah, that's maybe the absence of a victory for the enemy, but it's not. It's also the absence of a victory for you. The victory only really comes for us is when we actually have that heart. We minister in that contrary spirit. We minister to that out of love. And they throw it in our face, but Lord, we're just going to love. And it says something happens when we do this. It says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You put burning coals on his head. What does that mean? Oh, it's good, I'm going to make him suffer. No, it's just that when you constantly are showing love to someone, they're going to drive them nuts and think, what are you doing that for? I'm making your life hell. You know, you do something at work, I try to make you look like you're an idiot, or your neighbor, or your relative, or whoever it is, whatever the situation. But you just keep showing love to them. You're not only just biting your tongue, you're actually expressing your heart of love and grace to them. You're doing something positive. They'll begin to think, what is it? Because they're not acting like a normal person. If someone's horrible to me, well, you know, an unbeliever would just, if someone gives it to me, I'm going to give it to them and maybe give it back to them tenfold. You make me suffer. Man, are you going to suffer? But you're doing something different. You're showing them love. You're showing them grace. You know, you're befriending them. You're doing these things. And like, what are you doing? Putting hot coals on their mind, on their thoughts. They begin to think, hang on, there's something different here. You're not treating me like I would have treated you. There's something different, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit can begin to come on their life. But if we just respond like everybody else, then we're missing that opportunity for the grace of God to come and be shown to them, the heart of God, the nature of God, the character of God in that situation. And so what I'm saying, this is not easy stuff, what I'm saying this morning, but God doesn't want us to be overcome. He doesn't want us to be overcome by evil. He wants us to overcome evil by good. It's active. It's proactive. It's something that we do. Not reaction of negative thoughts and words and behavior, but on the contrary, we're actually doing something positive for them. And what a wonderful witness that is. In your workplace, wherever it is, in your family, they're all treating you like you're the whatever. They're giving you a hard time, like you're the black sheep or something because you're the Christian or whatever it is. They're all against you, or people giving you a hard time. But you just keep loving. You just keep responding. In fact, more than not responding negatively, you're responding positively. You actually begin to stand apart then. And not out of smugness and superiority, but out of the humbleness and gentleness of heart and concern and genuine compassion, it begins to, and you think, well, it doesn't do anything. They throw it back. Well, they might keep throwing it back. We'll throw it back many, many times. But you keep doing that, you're actually giving God an opportunity to show them grace in that process, and so that we can do that. Jesus said similar things in Luke 6. Jesus tells us something. We've got to listen very carefully to what Jesus was saying, and he's certainly teaching them here. And let's have a look at this. But to you who are listening, so this is Luke 6, 27 and 30 to 36, it says this. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, or love them. Love your enemies. Not be negative towards your enemies. Not be indifferent to your enemies, but to love them. Agape them. Love them. We've spent a whole year talking about love and really what that means. It says to love your enemies. Love them. You can only love them if you can see beyond their behavior and you begin to see into the brokenness of their heart, because that's what God does with us. He sees beyond our behavior and he says, you're doing that because you're broken. You're doing that because you're hurting, because you're lost. But my heart is that you won't be lost, you won't be hurting, you won't be broken, and that's God's heart to us. And that's how we can love people, when we see that. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. I don't know if anyone's hated me. Maybe they have, and I was too stupid to realize, I don't know. But someone, hate is such a strong word, isn't it? Someone hates you, they despise the very thought of you. They want harm to happen to you at every occasion. I mean, their heart is against you in every way. Someone hates you. But it says if someone hates you with that intensity, that emotion, not just dislikes you, doesn't get along with you, but hates you. It says if someone hates you, it says, do good to them. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those. Bless those who curse you. And here's a trick here. Pray for those who mistreat you. So one of the things is that you really want to have a heart for these people. Think, well, look, man, if they were treating you like they're treating me, you wouldn't be telling me this stuff, because, you know, it's just not fair. It's not right what's happening. But if you want to get the heart for someone, pray for them. Do you do that? Are you praying for that guy at work, for your boss, for the kids at school? Are you praying for your neighbor, for your family members that just give you hell all the time? It says to pray for them. It says pray for those who mistreat you. And so we need to do that, to have our heart of praying for people. Let's be praying for those people. Pray for them. Do you do that? And when you're praying for them, it's saying, Lord, I just bring my boss before you. Lord, take him now. Is that's not the prayer that he's really saying, is it? That's not the prayer that God wants from us, is saying, Lord, he's a broken man. Father, he's got a problem with his marriage, Lord, and it just, there's no rest at his home, Lord. He's constantly, Lord, just touch him, Lord. Lord, just give me the grace, Lord, to care for him, Lord, to love him, Lord, that I might even share you with him, that he might find what life is really about. And to have a heart of prayer. Praying for is so important. If you really want to develop a heart for people, pray for them. Pray for them. Even when you feel like, oh, I don't want to pray for them, say, Lord, I'm just going to pray. Lord, just help them, Lord. The same way that you saw me in my state, when you thought I was your enemy, you sent Jesus to die for me. When I was your enemy, Lord, you had a heart for me. Lord, just help me to have a heart, Lord. Help me, because this stuff is not easy that I'm saying. It's not easy. You don't wake up every morning thinking, so-and-so hates me today. It doesn't come naturally like that, does it? But if the Lord in our lives, he can help us with that. So pray for them. Pray for them. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. Do we do that? No, we don't. We bop them as hard as we can on their other cheek. But it says don't do that. Don't be looking to get even to them. It's just saying, no, I'm not going to respond to that. This is one verse. Look, you've got a bully that's bopping you on the cheek. I actually physically did that. I said, boom. He goes, oh, thanks. Boom. He's in there. Took me a little while just to work through all of this as a young kid. And all because I had glasses. What a terrible thing. And to pray for him, I had to start praying for him. And first of all, Lord, please, Lord, don't let him kill me. But then my prayers changed and saying, Lord, just give me a heart for him. Help me to see why he's like he is. And there's something about praying for people. It says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? interesting thought. Well, it's not a thought, it's a command that Jesus is saying. It says, give to everyone who asks you, and anyone asks, takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Wow. Pretty strong stuff, isn't it, that the Lord is saying? And he sums it up. It says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Because I'd want people to be gracious to me. Because I'm not perfect and I muck up sometimes. And we're all going to muck up sometimes. You might get angry, you might get frustrated or whatever it is. But you want people to treat you in a loving way when you make a mistake. When you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, you want people to be gracious towards you, don't you? I do. And so in the same way, okay, well, let's treat them like we want them to treat us. And he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? In other words, big deal. Big deal if you love people that are nice to you. Because he says, even sinners love those who love them. You're no different from anyone in the world. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. That's how the world operates. You cross me, man, you're gone. That's how the world operates. He says, no, it's not like that. It says, if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is to you? Big deal. It's people at work, the neighbors or friends, whoever they are, they're good stuff to me, so I'm good back to them. And he says, well, big deal. Means nothing, because even the world do that. Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And the wonderful promise that if we can actually grab a hold of that and learn what it is to be an overcomer, to overcome evil with good, he says, then your reward will be great. What a wonderful promise. Maybe a good thing to remember when it's not easy sometimes. Lord, the reward is great. One of the great parts of the reward is someone who was a major pain in the neck can actually become a friend. Well, there's a reward in that, isn't there? What a great reward that someone actually becomes your brother or sister in Christ and they're going to be in eternity and their life begins to turn around. What a great reward is that. But also a great reward in heaven. God rewards us because when we do become a Christian and we become a believer, when we stand before God, we're not judged about all the things that we did wrong. We're actually there to get reward at the judgment seat of Christ. We're rewarded for all the good things that we've done. There is a reward for us. And what a wonderful reward there is if we have such a heart. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High God. You'll be like your dad. I want to be like my dad, my spiritual father. We had Father's Day. It was only last week, wasn't it, Father's Day? Yep. This is like a year ago now. Or was, probably. Father's Day. Okay, well, maybe your natural dad was not the dad in every way. But I have a dad in heaven, and I want to be like my dad. Because the way that he treats me, even when I didn't deserve it, even when I was his enemy, he was gracious to me. I want to be like my dad in heaven. I want to be like him and to be his child. Be merciful. Let me finish it. You'll be children of the Most High God because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He's kind to the ungrateful. Even people who don't even say thank you, God's still kind to them. Sometimes we can be kind to people because they say, oh, thank you very much, I appreciate it. Sometimes people aren't grateful at all what you do for them. Sometimes they don't care what you've done. But he's kind and God is saying, there's people who are wicked, who are enemies of God, but he's still kind to them. Even though they're not grateful for what he does. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And so this is amazing stuff that God is calling us to do because we don't want to be overcome by evil. We're in a spiritual war and there's evil. Many ways to fight. One of the most powerful ways we fight is by showing love, showing grace, showing the heart of God in circumstances, not responding like the world does. I want us to be mindful of that when we go to work tomorrow or when you see your family this afternoon or whatever it is that happens, you see your neighbor, whatever it is, whatever situation, when you go to school, you go to uni, whatever it is, wherever you find yourself, to be mindful of these things. And I pray the Holy Spirit's going to bring these things back to your remembrance. Not that you're going to feel guilty because, oh no, what have I done? No, it's say, Lord, I'm actually going to, when I'm in this situation, because it will happen, you're going to face stuff. It will happen. You're going to have a hard time from someone somewhere. is going to give you a hard time. It's life. You're alive, it'll happen. But when it does, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit within me, Lord, I just want to have the heart first to pray for them. And as I pray for them, Lord, help me see beyond their behavior to the brokenness of their life. Help me to minister your love and your grace to their brokenness on that. Help me not to take offense and be offended and be all upset and hurt because of what they said or did. But Lord, give me the heart for them. And Proverbs 15:1 is a great little proverb. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, right in the heat of it, you can't have an argument if someone doesn't argue. You're not arguing back. It might infuriate someone, but a gentle word can turn away wrath. It's okay, don't worry about it. You know, you can just say a gentle word in the heat of that. And as we look at all this stuff, we might think, well, hang on, this is pretty unrealistic, isn't it? I mean, really, can anyone really live up to this? Well, as I said before, Jesus doesn't ask us stuff to torment us and to make us feel like we're failures and that we've failed. He actually asks us to do what he's going to enable us to do, empower us by the Holy Spirit. And so that our own relationship with God's important, the person that we are. That's where you find out where you are when the heat's on, when the pressure's on. That's where you really find out what you're like. Not when everything's going rosy, when everything's happy, everything's going good. It's when the rubber hits the road, when things happen. That's where we really find out. It's when you're under pressure, when you're being persecuted, when people are treating you unfairly. What's the stuff inside of us? We have Christ inside of us. And we pray that the Lord, that you will come out of our life. Well, not my own emotions to rule me, because I still have emotions and God's given me emotions. Nothing wrong with emotions, but how I handle that, how I respond is so important. And I want to have a heart. But Apostle Paul, he says this is that we can do it. 1 Corinthians 4:12-13. He's talking about his own experience and those that are with him. He says, when we are cursed, we bless. We do actually do this stuff. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Not there fighting back and whatever. And when we are slandered, we answer kindly. So they're saying we actually do that. And I believe by the grace of God, this is the kind of people that we can be. Because God does not want you to be overcome by evil. He doesn't want me to be overcome by evil. He doesn't want the devil having little celebrations because we responded back with aggression or a word or a thought or a deed or whatever it was. But we actually overcome by showing the opposite spirit, showing love, showing grace, and pouring the love of God in the situation. And Paul is saying we actually do that. It's a we. It's the guys that are traveling with him. Says, when we are cursed, but he's also including us in there as well, because he's talking to us. And so when we are cursed, we bless. And I pray that we can say that. When we curse, we bless. When we're cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. We don't spit the dummy. We don't give up. We just hang in there and we speak life. And when we are slandered, when words are spoken against us, unfair, unkind, untrue, we answer kindly. And so this is possible. What the Lord is asking, it's possible. Because it has to be. Because it gets down to that last verse in that we read in Romans 12 where it talks to, but our opening verse, it says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. God doesn't want any of us to be overcome. And I don't want to be overcome. I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And the practical outworking of that is that when life hits me in my responses, I'm not going to be overcome by evil, but I'm going to overcome evil by good. And I pray God seals that in our spirits today, that's going to be something written upon your heart. I'm not going to be overcome by evil. You know, whatever they put in the email, whatever they put on Facebook, whatever they put on this, whatever they said, whatever they did, I'm going to overcome evil by good. What the boss said, the kid did, neighbor, family member, whatever. No, I'm not going to let the devil have a victory here. I'm going to win this because I'm going to do something positive. Not enough to say, I'm just going to sit there humming. We shared one guy that when he was bullied at school, and I won't use his name, but it actually became a catchphrase. When he was getting bullied, he just used to put his fingers in his ears and hum, go off into his own little world. That's how he coped with it. Well, doing that's not enough, actually, to put your fingers in your ears and start humming. God wants you to actually do the opposite and wants you to say a kind word, do a kind deed. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Be proactive. And I pray that God stirs that in our heart today. So let's stand and pray. I want to pray that God will seal this in our spirit, seal this in our heart today. As I said, God doesn't ask us to do things that we cannot do, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He enables us to do that. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to give an opportunity if you need prayer this morning, particularly if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then don't leave an enemy of God. Leave as a son of God today, as a child of God. Give your heart to Jesus this day. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we give the invitation, if you don't know Jesus Christ, come to the front. It's our custom that people come forward and to say, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. That's all you have to say. I just need Jesus in my life, and we'll pray with you that you might know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need prayer, whatever it is. You may be stuck in a situation right now where this stuff that I've been saying is really confronting. Just saying, yeah, it sounds good and I agree with it, but I've still got tomorrow and I'm going to have to do this. I really want the Lord's help and strength. I'll pray with you as well. But let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you never treated us like we deserved. But Lord, that you were kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, Lord. And even us, Lord. Lord, when we were enemies of God, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. Lord, that we would not have to suffer in our sin, Lord, but you gave us life and the promise of eternal life. We're so grateful for what you've done for us. And Lord, we declare we want to be like you, Lord. Lord, we want to live in that contrary heart to what the world has, Lord. We want to minister in that opposite spirit, Lord. We want to be proactively showing love, Lord, even in the face of persecution and cursing and struggles and hard times that people would throw at us, Father. Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit within us, Lord, that you begin to imprint this upon our heart, Lord, because this is who you made us. This is really who we are. And Lord, we want to live who we are in Christ. It's who you made us to be, Lord. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit within us, Lord, you enable us, you help us. But Father, I pray, Lord, that even as people are thinking of situations right now, circumstances right now, Father, I pray, Lord, for your grace to be upon them. Lord, for your strength to be upon them, Lord, that they will not minister out of emotion, won't respond out of how they feel, but rather they'll respond out of who you have made them to be, who you've made us to be, Lord. Lord, not out of a wrong feeling or a bad feeling or an upset, Lord, even if it's justified, help us to minister your love in its place. Your grace, Father, Lord, I pray that now, Lord, etch that upon every heart, imprint it upon our spirits, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, that we will overcome, because, Lord, you called us to overcome, Lord. We will not be overcome by evil, but we will overcome evil by good. In Jesus' name, amen.